Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Cambridge and Clear Vista Financials are not affiliated. Discussions in the show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions.
Hi everyone, I'm Mark Trice, the host of the Spend Life Well Show. We're glad that you've joined us for this next episode where we'll be talking about inflation. I'm joined here today by my co-host in the podcast studio. To my right is Matthew Boudreau.
Hello, everybody.
And to my left is Jesse Hamilton.
Hey, everybody.
I don't know why we're talking about directions because people can't see us.
Makes it more three-dimensional.
We're doing like a football sports broadcast, and we're moving from left to right on the radio dial. Except people don't have radio dials to listen to our podcasts. So should we be worried about inflation? Well, the answer is probably yes, but we have inflation all the time. Jesse, what is inflation?
So inflation is a decline of purchasing power over time. So things are going to get more expensive, and the money that you have in your bank is less powerful.
Okay, so we're going to lose purchasing power over time. We'll talk about that a little bit more, but Matt, how in the world do they even calculate what inflation is?
Right, and I think exactly what Jesse just said, this is what inflation is, but what does that mean? And so we need to figure out, how is it calculated? Well, inflation is calculated using the Consumer Price Index, otherwise referred to as the CPI. And so this is just kind of like a weighted average of basket of goods by the Bureau of Labor and Statistics on a monthly basis it's calculated. So for instance, if you thought about, I don't know, let's back up, I don't know, 20, 25 years. Let's go back to 1995. How about that? So if you would have bought something for $5 back in 1995, and we talk about 75% inflation, okay, between them and now, that $5 takes $8.76 to be spent today to go as far as it did back then. If you were to back it up even further, back to 1960, $5 in 1960, all the way to today, 802% inflation. That $5 back then, you'd have to spend $45.11 for it to go as far as it did back then.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's crazy, especially when you think about it. And of course, we talk about things like compounding interest and things like that. But when it's talked about in inflation, how far does your money go? That's a pretty extreme example. And of course, all of these things applies to how cost of living adjustments go up every year, you know, Social Security, and just earned income, wages, mm-hmm. and all of that.
So the BLS is going out and looking at eggs cost this much, gas costs this much, right? And they're averaging all of it together.
Yeah, I mean, and it's only certain types of calculations. Now, the Bureau of Labor Statistics has modified how they calculate inflation over the years. And in fact, there's even within the BLS, there's a couple of different methodologies that they use to do that. Now, most recently, we had the inflation report for April, and it was around 4.9% over the last 12 months. It's an annualized type figure. They give you data about what the month of March was or the month of April was, but really you're kind of looking for a trend. Now, there's a couple of different things that, you know, we need to look at here. Number one, this is an annualized average, and what was happening around April of this last year?
Chaos.
Mm-hmm. We were in the middle of the pandemic. Everything was shutting down. We were not spending money.
Except on toilet paper.
And we all remember that. The only toilet paper I could find was, I even forgot the brand of it. I think we posted it on social media, but it was like Gigante Especial. It was a Mexican labeled brand, and it was like sandpaper. So I think we hung on to that roll of toilet paper just so we could keep it in the garage for such sanding purposes.
But if you're curious, you can go on the BLS website and download April's statement and look at how much did milk cost, and you can see all the data if you want to check it out.
Yeah, and they use these statistics to, as Matt said, you know, calculate the cost of living adjustments for Social Security and Medicare and things like that. But they've changed it a couple of different times. They've changed how they calculate those. The most recent big change was back in 1990, and that was during the Bush era, the first Bush era. And then they changed it once before back in 1980 or 81 when Reagan was in office. And it was interesting to compare the different methodologies. Now, our economy has changed over that 40 or 50 years or so, right? You know, in 1990, we were having the advent of the internet, and a lot of e-commerce and things were beginning to explode. In 1980, we didn't really even know what the internet, well, we didn't know what the internet was. There wasn't even the DARPANET at the time. I'm dating myself because since I know what DARPANET is. But in comparison, if we had used the same methodology to calculate inflation through the month of April as we used back in 1990, the actual inflation rate would have been a little over 8.5%. Okay?
So it's changing.
It's changing in that they leave things out. For example, they really don't include now anymore the cost of energy. Now, I don't know if you guys ever put gas in a vehicle of sorts. Oh, you have? Okay.
Yeah.
Or in the winter, especially when we had the Snowmageddon in February, you know, you weren't using any type of heat or anything like that. Well, they don't include those types of things in those overall calculations anymore. But the thing you got to remember is the cost of stuff that you buy is going up, and we want it to go up less versus more. And so we don't want it to get too hot or things will start to cost a whole lot more. So I know Jesse was telling us a story, and I said we weren't going to talk about it, but I'll let Jesse tell the story of his grandfather and a car he bought.
I don't know if this is true or not, but he was telling me about in the 40s, him and his buddies went out and bought a car that was made of wood, and he claims to have paid $25 for it, and they drove it all around the countryside and had a great time for $20.
That's scary.
But that's in the 40s.
Yeah.
And it was a wooden 40s. Car, which I probably wouldn't want to drive.
No, I wouldn't want to buy one either.
And how big of a chunk of change was $20 back then?
Well, hey, that could buy you a lot of stuff. Because yeah. you could get a cheeseburger and a Coke for a nickel.
Yeah.
So the cost of goods are going up. Have anybody in here or listening suspected that the bags of chips that you buy were actually filled with more air than they used to be?
What a ripoff.
You know, we had a friend send us a picture. It was a picture of two cans of Pringles. And Pringles are good in the summertime because they get hot and they're salty and stuff like that. there's two cans of Pringles. One that was filled and produced about a year ago, and one more recently. And the thing is, the cans look identical. The cans look identical, and then they took the chips out. The size of the chip was about 30% smaller than it was just a year ago. Now, this is kind of deceptive because the cost of that can of chips stayed the same, but you were getting less quantity. And manufacturers will do that to pass along the cost of inflation because there is a certain cost of not just the end cost of what you pay for it, but producers will have increased cost of inputs. And that affects a number of different things downstream in the economy. Has your cup of coffee gone up lately?
But they get away with it. We don't notice.
Well, I notice because I know what a bag of chips costs and how much air was in them 10 years ago. No, they do kind of get away with it because we still want our chips, right? We still want our Pringles.
Right.
But you will see increased cost in a number of different things, like coffee. I haven't been to Starbucks in a while. I don't really care to go to Starbucks, but the cost of coffee is going up. And a lot of that has to do with transportation of that coffee, but the cost of producing that is going up.
So I've been reading several articles about the Fed, and they claim that everything is under control and that firms are reluctant to raise their prices and that advances in technology and globalization, things like that, are going to keep prices capped. What do you think about that?
Well, that's what they said about the internet in 1999, 2000, that you didn't really need to make money to be successful. No, the Fed is trying to control the things that they can control. The Federal Reserve has told us that they think inflation is going to be transitory, But they've also said they're going to let the economy heat up. Now, does anybody know what they do to cool down the economy? Anybody want to guess?
Not write us all checks.
Well, that would be one thing. That's not necessarily the Federal Reserve. That's your dear Congress. But no, they can raise the overnight Fed funds rates to make it more costly to borrow money.
The stuff the average citizen doesn't track, though.
No.
This is overnight federal funds.
Only us nerds that are interested in inflation and interest rates and things. But what you have seen over the last several months is interest rates starting to creep up. And that increases the cost of borrowing, which will eventually slow down the economy. It also will make things more expensive and more costly to buy. The cost of housing is going up. The cost of housing is going up. It's almost impossible in some places to get a house. You're just highly competitive. So
same thing with used cars. Mm-hmm. I have several buddies that need to buy cars, and it's a terrible time to be on a used car lot.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, not for the salesman, but.
So the Fed says it's under control. I don't believe the Fed. And
as in most situations on what they're commenting on. So, Mark, what do you think? How does the average Joe approach protecting against inflation? I mean, we hear the headlines. We hear the swirling extreme comments that are made in the media. How do we as individuals, as normal, everyday families, protect ourselves against?
There's one clear answer, right? No, there's never one clear answer.
No, I mean, you can certainly hoard. I suppose all the people that bought all the toilet paper during the early parts of the pandemic are still sitting on a good supply.
Well, I hear they're starting to stock up on gas tanks to...
Yeah, it's shifting.
...to store up fuel.
Yeah, and some of that has to do with the Keystone Pipeline, but the Colonial Pipeline on the East Coast and people being concerned about that. I don't think, it depends on which... internet article you read about how the world's going to end to whether or not you're responding to a conspiracy theory.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, you can certainly stock up on things. And if you're planning on buying something now, you may want to go ahead and buy it if we're going to have inflation, because it'll be more expensive a year from now. But there's not a lot of stuff that you can do to avoid inflation. Now, the one thing you need to realize is that your purchasing power will go down. And when your purchasing power goes down, or when inflation goes up, it is a deterrent to save. Now, a lot of people, especially conservative investors, are going to think, I need to save more money and put it in my bank account. Well, you're not going to keep up with the pace of inflation. Let's just think about this. Let's just do a simple math lesson. What's an average savings account paying around here? Just guess.
Less than 1%.
Yeah.
Less than 1%. Yeah. Most accounts are maybe around 0.1, and that's a generous one.
Yeah.
So 0.1% is what you're earning in a typical savings account. Inflation is 4.9%. Mm-hmm. Okay? Are we following the pattern here?
So you're losing money. You're losing purchasing power. You can't buy as many things.
You are losing purchasing power. So you can invest in different types of things. We can't talk about individual securities or things like that, but sometimes equities and other different times things like that can help fight inflation. In other words, you can invest in things that hopefully will grow faster than inflation.
What about an inflation-protected securities?
You can buy those and things like that. So we want to make sure that anything we talk about is suitable for our listeners and so forth. So it's always wise to seek the counsel of a financial professional or financial advisor that is an expert in these things. But when you have inflation, it puts pressure on equity prices. Because companies are now having to spend more money on the input side of production, and it could be inputs can also be just labor. We're having to pay more for labor for people to work, and that may go away in September when unemployment benefits go away, but that is a rising cost. You can also look at things like commodities. Commodities are not going up because of inflation. but commodities will be priced because of their demand, and we tend to have more demand in these situations.
Gold, kind of, oh yeah, gold, silver.
Gold and silver and other things like that are typical examples. But the main thing I want you to take away is that your purchasing power will go down if you aren't doing something to help fight or offset that inflation.
And your net worth goes down if you're just sitting.
Well, yeah, because you just can't buy as much stuff. We give an example sometimes when we're talking to retirees that have a fixed annuity that pays a flat amount over a period of time. Let's just say that it was $2,000 that they're getting every month. Well, in about 15 years at a normal pace of inflation, which is around 2 or 2.5%, they can only purchase about $1,000 worth of stuff. You know, you guys have seen our workshops we put on, and I used to bring in like five grocery bags. And I tell the story that back in 2000, I could buy five bags of groceries with $100. Okay. Today, I can only buy two bags of groceries with that same $100. And that's just an example of an illustration of inflation. The cost of those goods are going up.
So you're not going to like this question. I already know it.
Okay.
But it's 2021. Can't you just invest in cryptocurrency and that'll protect you?
No. No. And I know I'm going to have somebody write in and say, I made a gajillion dollars on Bitcoin or Ethereum or whatever.
Doge.
Dogecoin.
Some gamblers do make money.
That's exactly right, Matt. They're gamblers sometimes are lucky. Some gamblers are sometimes lucky. But you are involved in a speculative market of something that has no underlying value or asset to back it up except hype. And eventually that hype goes away. I mean, look what happened earlier this week. Elon Musk.
Yeah, one tweet.
The power of a tweet.
Billions of dollars.
I mean, Elon Musk earlier in the year said, Tesla is going to start accepting Bitcoin as a form of payment for their cars, right?
Shut up.
Yeah, and it shot up. And in fact, Tesla bought a bunch of some type of cryptocurrency. Was it Bitcoin?
Yeah, it was Bitcoin. It was Bitcoin.
Okay,
yeah.
Bitcoin. And it shot up after that, too. And they made a lot of money. You go look at their quarterly reports for the first quarter. They made a ton of money off of it. And then almost as quickly as he made the money, he basically said that he wasn't going to accept it because of how much of a
environmental,
carbon. Environmental impact or a big carbon footprint for, you know, creating and mining the Bitcoin. So it's highly speculative. I mean, I know people that made some money. I've known some people that lost a lot of money. And it is kind of, that's the reason they came up with the term speculator. You know where that came from?
Gold.
Came from the gold rush in the 1880s in California and other places around there. They weren't called miners. They were called speculators because they were out there gambling their fortunes away in the hopes of striking gold. You can invest in cryptocurrency. I don't think it's a hedge against inflation. I would say that sometimes more of these traditional assets might be more of a hedge, but be careful with any type of cryptocurrency. It is not a hedge against inflation. It's because it's not tied to anything. It's tied to hype. I'm going to have a hype index. I need to create one. So
I have one more question.
Yeah.
Do you think I could convince my wife that buying a new boat is a inflation-protected investment?
Mm. Only if you're going to live on it.
Get more boat free money now as opposed to tomorrow.
You know, as us guys can come up with all sorts of rationale for why we should do something and why it's beneficial. Jesse, I would advise you, as you know, only been married a few years, I would avoid using rationale like that.
That might be speculative.
Yeah, you might be speculating with your marriage. Guys, I mean, this is kind of a meaty topic. And I think inflation is here to stay. I think hopefully that it won't continue to be as high. But we have inflation every year.
Yeah.
Most of us don't even really notice it at all. Yeah. But the Federal Reserve targets around 2% as their target inflation rate. We've had inflation of 4.9. We'll see if that continues into the next quarter. And the thing is the Fed said it's temporary, but we won't know it's temporary or not until it's already here and full upon us. So there's really not a whole lot you can do except to monitor your investments, make sure you talk to a qualified financial advisor to help you with those things. And please, please, please don't take any unnecessary risk that you don't have to just because you think inflation's coming. Inflation's here. And so it just, you need to be thinking about really saving for the future and investing in a wise way that honors God and will help you ride out all sorts of different economic cycles.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, hopefully that was educational for all of you listeners out there. Again, we're here to help with any questions that you might have. You can always email us at info@clearvistafinancial.com or give us a call at 800-491-4508. And as always, you can check our website, spendlifewell.com. We'll see you next time on the next episode of the Spend Life Well Show.